بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ساكن مجلس ساكن رمضان المبارك. هذا الشيخ's first Hajj journey. هذا الشيخ stated, I first went on Hajj in the year 1388 after Hijrah. Since this journey was in the company of Hazrat Aqdas Sahranpuri, you know, his sheikhs, one of Khalid Ahmad Sahranpuri. Nawwar Allah al-Qadr, may Allah illuminate his resting abode. There was plentiful supply of food and snacks at every station along the way till we reached Bombay. By the time we reached Bombay, our group comprised of about 300 people. While traveling to Bombay, everybody ate together. After arriving in Bombay, Hazrat announced, the Hajj journey has now commenced. It will be very difficult to prepare food on a group basis. The jurists of Islam have ruled that food should not be prepared on a group basis during the Hajj journey. Thus, everyone should choose suitable companions and make their own food arrangements. Rais Mutawakkil Tufail Sahib was my friend. His servant Mullah Abdul Aziz accompanied him. He asked the late Mahmud Latif to join him. These three men insisted that I join them. Haji Maqbool enjoyed the same status in Hazrat's court as Maulvi Nasiruddin enjoys here by me. Haji Maqbool often remarked, Hazrat, if I'm not here, then these honorable attendants will not leave your clothes on your body too. Haji Maqbool Sahib was outspoken when annoyed, to the point that he expressed his annoyance at Hazrat too. He had a similar relationship with me too. However, when his anger subsided and he will be pleased with me again, then he will say, I have no fight with you. I'm only angry at you because you have commented a relationship with Maulana Abdul Latif on the basis of Lahmahu. His flesh is like my flesh. Lahmahu. Lahmahu kalahmihi, wadamahu kaldamihi. His flesh is like my flesh and his blood is like my blood. But that as it may, I declined the offer to join the Ra'is of Kandla. In those days, the Hajj journey costed about 600 rupees, which in the present currency is equivalent to about 1,000 to 2,050 rupees. I had already purchased the ticket. I handed 600 rupees to Haji Maqbool Sahib. I added, shall there be a shortfall, then I will repay him on my return. I traveled light. My clothing was packed in a pillow. I bought a black kurta in Bombay to wear on the sea voyage. Haji Maqbool said, you may join us with pleasure on condition that that you will not require me to submit an account of expenditure to you. Further, will it be acceptable to you if part of your contribution is used to pay for Hazrat's expenditure? I replied, yes indeed. I do not need a record of expenditure. The next day, Hazrat asked, brothers, has everybody made their arrangements? Mahmud Latif explained, yes, Hazrat. Everybody has made his or her arrangements except Maulvi Zakaria. He insists on staying with you. I said, Hazrat, I have already confirmed my journey with Haji Maqbool Sahib. Hazrat stated, good. I wonder what made him agree. Hazrat then expressed great happiness at this arrangement. Hazrat thus, accompanied by his attendants, commenced the journey and reached Makkah Mukarramah on the 10th Ramadan. While there, Hazrat was invited for most meals. Should anyone present a gift to him, then he distributed amongst us. If it was a simple gift, if the value of the gift was about 5 majidis, a Turkish silver coin, joined under Sultan Abdul Majid, a Turkish silver coin under Sultan Abdul Majid, when he usually brought fruit with the money and distributed it. If the value of the gift was about 5 majdis, then he usually brought fruit with the money and distributed it. If the amount was large, then Hazrat distributed the entire amount amongst the residents of Makkah. One day somebody prepared an invitation for Hazrat. Hajiji informed everybody but forgot to notify the ladies in the house. As a result, food was also prepared in the house. When the invitation food arrived, Haji Maqbool was very annoyed at us. He asked, why did you fail to inform the ladies in the house to prepare food? Ammaji, our spiritual mother, yani Hazrat Sahranpuri's ahliya wife, was also annoyed. Hazrat did not say anything. After Maghrib, we ate a little of the food that was prepared at home and a little of the food that was prepared by invitation. Hazrat distributed food to many others. However, there was still plenty of food left over. At Sehri, we first ate the food that we prepared by invitation. Thereafter, we continuously requested the food that was prepared at home. Food was continuously sent from inside until all the food was finished. Ammaji expressed surprise and asked, "Who is eating all this food? Are there any other visitors from outside?" When Hazrat came to learn about this, he said, "It seems to me that our children go hungry every day." I stated, "Hazrat, we fill our stomach every day. However, we do eat more than usually occasionally. These were the days when I was young. I am now unable to eat or drink much." Further details can be found in Abiti, page 220, volume 4. Hazrat Muhyiddin Sahib's comment about Hazrat Saharanpuri. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah stated, Maulana Zafar Ahmad Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi stated that I was seated in the haram in the company of Hazrat Maulana Muhyiddin Wilayati, a senior khalifa of Ala Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Alayhi, who was an accomplished Sahib Kashf. At that time, Maulana was reciting his daily Durood Sharif from a kitab. He suddenly looked up and asked me, "Who has just arrived in the haram? The entire haram is suddenly filled with anwar, spiritual illumination." I remained silent. In the ensuing period, Hazrat Saharanpuri Rahmatullahi completed his tawaf and was on his way to Babu Safa to make sa'i when he stopped by Maulana Muhyiddin Sahib, who sat every day on the same spot. Maulana stood up and laughing happily said, I just asked now who has arrived in the haram today." Saying this, they shook hands and embraced each other. Hazrat continued on his way to make sa'i. Maulana Muhyiddin remained seated on his place and told me, "Mia Zafar, Maulvi Khalil Ahmad Sahib is Noor upon Noor. He has nothing else but Noor in him." Understand? Rasulullah SAW, whilst going for Salat or Tahajjud time, he used to read a dua that Allah make. In the dua, he mentions, "Allah make my body, my bones, my ears, my eyes, this, and make me Noor." Understand? Allahumma ja'alni Noora, Allah make me Noor. Understand? This was a dua of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So these people, mashallah, very spiritual. Hazrat Maulana Muhyiddin, Hazrat Haji Imdadullah's Khalifa, is reading his Durood Sharif, and all of a sudden he experienced Noor, and he told Maulana Zafar Ahmad Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi that I experienced Noor, that the whole haram has become enlightened. And he didn't know that Hazrat Saharanpuri had just come into the haram. And then when Hazrat Saharanpuri came to meet him, he says, "Now I understand, okay, why the whole haram has become enlightened." And that's their spiritual lightness that they had. Akashwa Maulana Muhyiddin. Hazrat Shaykh stated, "In the year 1388 after Hijrah, I undertook my first Hajj journey in the company of Hazrat Saharanpuri. At that time, Maulana Muhyiddin Sahib was still alive. When he embraced Hazrat Saharanpuri, he asked, 'Maulana, why do you choose to come here now? A major catastrophe is about to unfold here. Return to India immediately at the conclusion of Ramadan, because after Sharif Hussein, Ibn Saud's force will be arriving.' Hazrat Agdas Saharanpuri addressed us as attendants and said, 'I came with the intention of staying in Medina Park. However, Maulana Muhyiddin Sahib specifically prohibits me from doing so. I have visited Medina Park many times before. This is your first Hajj. One does not know that whether you will get an opportunity to visit again or not. Therefore, you people proceed.' Hazrat Shaykh stated, 'It was an age of severe unrest. Very few people went to Medina before Hajj, and even fewer went after Hajj. One's life was not safe, nor were one's goods safe. Sharif Hussein.'" Now this, I mentioned that Hazrat Saharanpuri made three du'as at Multazam. And one du'a was, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make this Haramain Sharifin safe. Make Haramain Sharifin safe." And after that, Haramain Sharifin became safe. When they used to do Hajj, and when they used to do, these people had to go through highway robbers. Right, to go from Makkah to Medina, they would have to pass highway robbers. They would have to pass. And then after, they said that Hazrat Saharanpuri's three du'as, one was getting the earth of Jannatul Baqi, and one that his Bazl Majhud should be completed, and the other, the roads to, or the Haramain Sharifain should be safe. So all three were accepted. He died and he passed away in Jannatul Baqi, and Medina Munawwara, and buried in Jannatul Baqi. And also, his Bazl Majhud, the commentary in Abu Dawud Sharif in Arabic, that was printed before he passed away. And also, from that day until today, the roads of Haram are safe. From that day until today, the roads of Haram are safe. And Allah keep it until the day of judgment, my Shaykh says. Hazrat Agdas Saharanpuri addressed us attendants and said, "I came with the intention of staying in Medina Park. However, Maulana Muhyiddin Sahib specifically prohibits me from doing so. I have visited Medina Park many times before. This is your first Hajj. One does not know whether you will get an opportunity to visit again or not. Therefore, you people proceed." Hazrat Shaykh stated, "It was an age of severe unrest. Very few people went to Medina before Hajj, and even fewer went after Hajj. One's life was not safe, nor were one's goods safe. Sharif Hussein's rule did not extend beyond the four walls of Mecca. Murder and plundering was the order of the day. One was only allowed to stay in Medina for 3 days. If one extended one's stay beyond 3 days, then one had to pay a fine of one guinea ashrafi to one's guide, on condition that he too was prepared to accept the one guinea only. The perilous journey from Makkah Muazzama to Medina Tayyibah. Hazrat Sheikh stated, in spite of the prevailing dangers, a few of us servants left with the blessings of Hazrat Aqdas and the grace of Almighty Allah. We initially set off on our journey, traveling unconsciously along the coast and then through the ravines of Jabal al-Ghair, Mount Ghair. The record of this journey is very long. The journey is one of the many blessings that Allah always showered on us, this unworthy servant throughout my life. Hazrat appointed me as the Amir of the group on the basis of Al-Aimma min al-Quraysh. The Aimma, the leader, should be from Quraysh. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi, he was from Quraysh. Why? Why was he from Quraysh? His great-great-grandfather was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Mawlana Ilyasab's great-grandfather was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Nanotvi's great-grandfather was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Like Hazrat Thanvi's great-grandfather, great-great-great-grandfather was Hazrat Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Haji Imdadullah's great-great-grandfather was Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu too. So these people, like I said yesterday too. So his sheikh appointed him Amir. Hazrat Sheikh, Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri, on the journey appointed him, acting upon this saying, this Al-Aimma min al-Quraysh, that the leader will be from the Quraysh. He then calculated our travel expenses and gave us money to convert our journey to and from Medina and for our 3 days stay there. He deposited the balance of our money at Haji Ali Khan Sahib in Makkah, in Haji Ali Khan's shop in Makkah Mukarramah. Some of our companions were hunters. They cooked whatever they hunted. We occasionally bought a sheep along the way. My companions cooked khichdi, a dish made of split pulse and rice bowl together. It was my practice to walk around and meet every member of the travel group wherever we halted and inquire about their welfare and needs while they cooked. After 3 or 4 days, Mamu Latif decided to display his affection for me. As it says, he decided to display his affection for me, love for me, kindness for me. He complained that this Amir Sahib merely walks around from one end to the other. He shall cook the khichdi too. Mawlana Mansur Ahmad Khan Sahib stated, he is the Amir of the group. However, Mamu Latif was adamant that I share the cooking duties too. I filled the pot with water and lifted the wooden spoon to add salt to the water. On seeing this, Mamu Latif got annoyed and screamed, "Are, what are you doing?" An old lady from Saharanpur, accompanied by her husband, was part of our group, sat listening to all this. She said, "You people know how to cook. He does not know how to cook." Mamu Latif got even more enraged at this comment. The old lady said, "I will cook on his behalf." On hearing this, he really fumed and asked, "Why did you not make this offer when it was my turn to cook?" There was a few Pathans in our group too. They came rushing and said, "What? Does Sheikh have to cook the khichdi? That can never happen. We will eat food. He will eat food with us." Similarly, people from Muradabad and Kanpur all made their offers. They said, Hazrat made him the Amir. He does not need to cook. By the grace of Allah Ta'ala, I ate meat throughout the journey and never had to eat khichdi again. As the Sheikh stated, since I was fluent in Arabic, therefore, I acted as the interpreter for the entire group when conversing with the Bedouin camelers. My camelier, Jamal, fell in love with me. On one occasion, he was greatly distressed when a thorn stung me. He said, "This thorn has not stung you in your foot, it has stung me in my heart." Along the road, he deposited his money with me. However, when this Bedouin reached the Haram in Makkah, and since many in our travel party were fed up with him, they seized the opportunity to get rid of him quickly. He left in such haste that I was left holding a small sum of his money by me. I deposited the little he left behind in the Madrasa Sulaitiya. Divine aid helps us to spend an entire 40 days instead of 3 days. As the Shaykh stated, one of the great gifts of Allah. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. We read this 2 times in Qiyamul Layl yesterday. And if you are to enumerate a single blessing of Allah too, then you will not be able to do so. Hazrat Saharanpuri used to say concerning this ayat, وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ. Allah uses نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ, the singular. Understand? Because even in one ni'mat, there are so many other ni'mats that Allah uses the singular. وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. So Allah mentions this in the 13 juz and the 14 juz. وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. And if you are to enumerate a single blessing of Allah too, then you will not be able to do so. So as the Shaykh stated, one of the great gifts of Allah is that Allah Ta'ala created a means for us to stay in Medina Munawwara for 40 days instead of the short 3 days period. When we reached Medina Munawwara, a camel belonging to our Jamal died due to fatigue. Jamal did not have the money to buy a camel, and neither did we have enough to extend a loan to him. Consequently, when Jamal asked us for a loan to buy a camel, we replied, "If you extend a loan to us, then we will at least be able to eat." I already mentioned that we only had sufficient money to last us for 3 days. In short, that poor man, may Allah reward him, continued apologizing for the delay and his lack of resources. Some of our companions occasionally went to the Amir of Medina to complain. The Amir of Medina could only express his deepest sympathy and advise them to make sabr and reprimand the Bedouin. An appeal at the Rose Pak and divine assistance for our return. Understand? Appeal at the Prophet ﷺ's grave. Hadith Shaykh stated, In this way, 40 days passed. I then went to the Holy Rawdah and pleaded, Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many amongst us have come here on Hajj Badal. It is very difficult for them. By that evening, our Bedouin guide found a camel. A person came up to me and said, Maulana Sher Muhammad Sahib is searching for you from yesterday. I only knew him, yani Maulana Sher Muhammad, as a Khalifa of Hazrat Aqdas Thanvi, rahmatullah alayh, and he only knew me as the son of Hazrat Maulana Yahya Sahib. We met in the Haram. He said, your group has become well known in this area as a poor, destitute group of travelers from India who are stranded here. Our travel group comprises of wealthy people. That is why I search for you because our companions have 500 guineas, and to carry that amount on us is easy. Will you kindly carry it for us? Nobody will search your group because you have already become well known as poor and stranded travelers. I told him, They stab holes in pillows too. It will be very difficult to carry so many gold coins on us. However, he insisted, and upon his persistent plea, I agreed. I said, all right, I will carry it with me on condition that you convert this to a currency and give us permission to use whatever we need from it. When we get to India, we will pay back the entire amount in 4 months, inshallah. The second condition is that Hazrat Aqdas shall not find out about this agreement at all. He left and converted the guineas into 7,000. I took the amount and went to my travel group and announced that if anybody needs any money, then come and take a loan from me. The people in my travel group expressed surprise and asked, are you joking in Medina Munawwara too? They only believed me after I showed them the money. I extended a loan to my companions on two conditions. The first being that they do not inform Hazrat, and secondly, when they return to India, they shall repay their loan within 2 months so that I am able to return the full amount to Maulana Sher Muhammad Sahib as per the promise. Alhamdulillah, when I reached India, I repaid the money in full. At that time, it says in Hadith, when a person takes a loan and he makes a firm intention of paying back, then Allah aids him and he pays back. So look at Hazrat Shaykh's yaqeen. He said to make it into the currency, made it into 7,000. And then he goes to his group and he says, everybody is allowed to take qarz from me. And on the condition that you don't tell Hazrat, why not tell Hazrat? Because Hazrat would be upset, okay, you took that much qarz upon yourself for everybody, and everybody, and you're responsible for it. Because when you get back to India, the person's not going to come to them, he's going to come to you. Understand? And you're going to have to pay him back. And so Hazrat said, don't tell Hazrat, yani Hazrat the Shaykh, and pay me back at a certain time when you get to India. This is how much yakin he had that Allah will do my qarz intizam. And thus he goes, Hazrat Shaykh used to go, mera sara karobar, it runs on qarz. Understand? And he used to say, not qarz hasna, but qarz hasana. There's two types of qarz. One is a person, hasna. Hasna means to laugh. So you say there's one type of qarz, which is called qarz e hasna. So when the person comes and says, give me my debts, he laughs it out. So Hazrat Shaykh used to say, that's called qarz e hasna. And the other type of qarz is hasana. Man zal ladhi yuqridu Allah qardan hasana. You need a good loan, a person pays back on time. Understand? So that was his whole life. He used to run on qarz. Understand? When his father passed away, he was in thousands of qarz. And at that time, he had the means of a property, a estate, that he could have fulfilled his father's qarz. And all he had to do is go to the court and sign in, or make a statement. And all the people in his family, he had great barristers and lawyers in his family, his mamus and that, the sheikh. And they said, all you have to do is just go to court and give one statement. So he goes, how long will it take? So it'll take 2-3 hours going, 2-3 hours coming, and 1 minute in court. That's it. So he goes, in that much time, my this much hadith work will go down. I do not have time to go. And he had thousands of example, like dollars. I say dollars in qarz. Qarz of who? His father who passed away. And Allah even took care of that. He didn't have that much time to go and just stay a statement, and his estate will be taken care of, and all that money will come cash to him, and he would just have to pay for his father's qadr. But he didn't do that. This was people who are connected to Allah. Understand? That was ajeeb. I did not know anybody in... Alhamdulillah, when I reached India, I repaid the money in full. At that time, I did not know anybody in Medina Park. I was acquainted with Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Ahmad Madni. Maulana Sayyid Ahmad Madni was the elder brother of Sheikh Hussein Ahmad Madni, rahmatullahi alayhi. This is the Maulana Sayyid Ahmad Madni, that when Hazrat Maulana Ilyasab rahmatullahi alayhi was in Medina Munawwara and worried in fikr of the Ummah, and he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go back to India, work will be taken from you. Go back to India, work will be taken to you from you. So he went to this one, Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Ahmad Madni. Maulana Sayyid Ahmad Madni was the older brother of Sheikh Hussein Ahmad Madni. He was the elder brother of Sheikh Hussein Ahmad Madni. So he went to Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Ahmad Madni, Maulana Ilyasab, and he said, Hazrat, bahut fikr ho rahi. Ki maine ye khwab dekha, I've seen this dream, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me to go back to India and do work, and that work will be taken from me. And I don't know what work I'm going to do. Mere andar kya hai? What do I have in me that I'm going to do any work? Hazrat even had a little bit stuttering in his tongue. Hazrat was very very skinny, Hazrat was. And he wasn't so thin, but Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Ahmad Madni said, why are you worried? Hazrat Rasulullah said, go back to India, work will be taken from you. Your job is to go back to India, Allah will take work from you. And the work of Dawah, Allah. So this, acquainted, at that time I did not know anybody in Medina Park. I was acquainted with Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Ahmad Madni. However, his family was expelled from Medina, and Hazrat Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madni was imprisoned in Malta. Hazrat in Malta jail with his teacher. In fact, he chose to go to jail with his teacher, Sheikh al-Alam. Hazrat Thanvi used to call him Sheikh al-Alam, Sheikh al-Hin, and Hazrat Thanvi. Even though Hazrat Thanvi, his ustad, Hazrat Sheikh Mahmud Hassan rahmatullah alayh, his ustad, Sheikh Ashraf Ali Thanvi's. But in political view, totally different. Hazrat Thanvi was of League, and he used to support the League. And his opinion was, yes, we should have a different state of our own. And that happened. That state was made Pakistan. But Allah yasmillah after that. And in the political view of Hazrat Madni and Hazrat Sheikh al-Hin was that, no, in the League, they were in the Congress. They were in the Congress, and Hazrat Thanvi supported the League. Hazrat Thanvi was a politician, but Hazrat Madni was a politician, and Hazrat Sheikh al-Alam was also active in the politics. So they were in the Congress. But look at the way Hazrat Thanvi loved his ustaz, and he said, people say Hazrat Sheikh al-Hin, he is the Sheikh of India. And India at that time was Pakistan, Bangladesh, and India all one. Understand? People say him. But I say he's Sheikh al-Alam, he's the Sheikh of the universe. Understand? And even though they had political difference of opinion, even with Hazrat Madni, when Hazrat Madni was put in Malta jail, and the news, somebody thought that, oh, Hazrat Thanvi will be happy when I give him the news. It said that Hazrat Thanvi could not even eat. And he said that, kya aap samajhte hai ki this news was going to give me happiness, but it's so much grief, I can't even eat now. Kya, what news did you give me? That Hazrat Madni has gone to jail. So they said, they know what, they made a comment like this, but he put himself in jail.
Understand? That person said. So Hazrat Thanvi said, "What are you talking about? He put himself in jail. Didn't Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu go to Karbala? In his great-great-great-grandfather, he was a Husseini. Sheikh Hussein Ahmad Madni was a Husseini. That person who went to Rasulullah s.a.w.'s grave and he said, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya jaddi. And Rasulullah s.a.w. said, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya waladi. Who used to teach Sahih al-Bukhari dars near the grave of Rasulullah s.a.w. And once when he was talking about Rasulullah s.a.w.'s life, he's alive in his grave, and then he was explaining. And then the students, he said, do you understand? They said, they hesitated. And then he looked down, and then he looked towards the Rose Athar like this. And then he looked down, and then when he looked towards the Rose Athar, all the students looked, and they saw Rasulullah sitting there. And then he said, do you understand? He said, they said, we understood. That was his spiritual. These people really think. If you study their life, it's in English too, his autobiography here. It's in English too, we have it. Hazrat Sheikh Hussain Ahmad Madni's. So these people were very great, great awliyaullah kiram. If you read their life, how they spend their days in Makkah. You know, once one person saw how for days and days no food. Days and days no food at Sheikh Hussain Ahmad Madni's house. So he said, Hazrat, you're at this state. So he goes, sometimes if Allah blesses us, our grandfather's sunnah is practice. Please don't tell anybody my state, in our state, of our house. That you need grandfather's sunnah is practice. You need Rasulullah's house. Days and days no food. Hazrat Hussein Ahmad Madni's house. Days and days no food. So when the person said, Hazrat, look, days and days. So he goes, sometimes grandfather's sunnah, Allah makes us practice in our house. Alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. But don't tell this to anybody. Don't reveal this state of our house. That we don't have food for days and days. This was Hazrat Sheikh Hussein Ahmad Madni. So this is why they reached the status. Today we eat, mashallah. So the mujahada they done, mujahada. Fasting after fasting, like Rasulullah's house, the food is not. And these were Sadat, Sayyid people. His Alhamdulillah, when Hazrat Maulana Asad Madni used to come, there's a book here, half in Bengali and half in English, of Sheikh Hussein, Sheikh Maulana Asad Madni here. So one day in here, I was reading, Sheikh Asad Madni is sleeping in a place in India, and his father, Sheikh Hussein Ahmad Madni, comes and he says, why are you sleeping? The riot in Calcutta. Go to Calcutta, there's a riot. And he went there, and he was a great politician. When Hazrat Madni used to go, and you know what? How he used to go? He used to go all by himself. And he says, it takes one bullet in this chest of Asad Madni. It takes one bullet in this chest of Asad Madni to be dead. But subhanAllah, he lived to be over 80 years old. Understand? And he used to go to a place where Hindus used to do riot, and nobody used to go there. Understand? And he used to say one word because he was the Amir of Jamiat Ulama, who there was over 2-3 million members of India. So when they used to do a jalsa or anything, the whole government used to shake. Understand? Maulana Asad Madni, a member of parliament. So he used to come here for 3 days. I used to be with him 3 days. He used to read Salat here. And one day, on a Thursday night, we were at Yunus Chacha Pandur's house, Maulana Shakir's father's house. And then he goes to me, on Thursday night, he said to me, where do you do sunnat qiraat? So I said, Hazrat, he used to read in Medina Masjid when he was young, when not young, but about 7-8 years before he passed away. That time he only used to have one walking stick. But after when the last 1-2 years before he passed away, he used to have a, you know, one of those things, and he couldn't even walk properly. But every day after Fajr, he used to go walking. Right? So he used to usually read in Medina Masjid, and then I used to pick him up. And then I used to take him to, you know, Ahmad Chacha Dawood, to his house. He used to stay at Ahmad Chacha. My dad was his host. So, Alhamdulillah, I used to press his legs. One day when I was pressing his legs, I said, I want to kiss those legs. I didn't have the guts to kiss the legs, because Hazrat might wake up. So I kissed his forehead. And his son was with me too, Maulana Sayyid Mahmood, who's in the Jamiat Ulama right now. He's a Ajeeb person too, like his father and grandfather. So Maulana Asad Mandi, on Thursday night, he said to me, Maulana, where will they read Sunnat Qiraat? Tomorrow is Friday morning. So I go, Hazrat, Alhamdulillah, in our masjid, I'm the Imam, and I read the Sunnat Qiraat. I don't know of other masajids that if they read Sunnah Qiraat, but Alhamdulillah, I always read Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda and Surah Dahra. Alhamdulillah, it's Sunnah to read that in Fajr. So he's Musafir. And in 3 days that he used to stay in Canada, the 3 days that I used to go at Fajr time before to his room, we would sleep at 1-2 o'clock at night, but every day he was on the Musalla before Fajr time. Not once was he sleeping and I had to wake him up. And he would sleep at 1-2 o'clock and wake up at 3-4 o'clock for tahajjud. And he's a musafir. And so ihtimam of jamaat. Understand? And Hazrat used to eat very little. Very little. And like that, his son, Maulana Mahmood, I was right beside him with his father eating. And he, just like his father, eats very little. Not just that, after his father's demise, when he came 2-3 years ago, and he done bayan with the ulamas, the Jamiat of Canada, he done bayan here, because he's responsible of Jamiat ulama in India, Maulana Mahmood Madani. He's still eating habits like that, just a little. Halakhi, these ulamas, they get big dawats. But just that much. So much control of his nafs. Ajeeb. So this is Sadat family. Shaykh Hussain Ahmad's family, they're Sadat, the descendant of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So these people went through much mujahada in their lives. Hazrat Shaykh stated, my friends, ask of Allah. So Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Mandi was imprisoned in Malta jail. So he spent his time in Malta jail. With where? With who? With his teacher. His teacher was arrested, Sheikh Al-Alam, Hazrat Sheikh Mahmud Al-Hassan, Rahmatullah Alayhi, he was arrested. So he went in jail with his teacher. He said, I'm going to do khidmat of my ustaz. And what type of khidmat did he do? Allahu Akbar. Once they threw a snake over for Hazrat. And Hazrat was doing his zikr, Sheikh Hussain, and he used to jump over the wall to his Sheikh's thing. So his Sheikh said, Maulvi Hussain, apna aye, that they send a cobra out here. So he said, just carry on your zikr. And he started his zikr, and the snake then came over to Hazrat Manni's compartment, and he was doing a zikr. He said that he'd done so much darb, the snake smashed his head until the snake collapsed. Understand? And when they used to give cold water to the Sheikh, right, to do wudu with, he used to warm it up on his belly like this for his ustaz. That's the khidmat he done. He used to warm it up on his belly like this for his ustaz to do wudu. So when he wakes up for tahajjud, so all night he would be busy doing his dhikr and his ma'mulat and put the water like this by his belly. So when his hazrat, when his ustaz woke up for tahajjud time, he would have warm water to do the wudu with. This was the khidmat. Allah Akbar. An inquiry. Hazrat Shaykh stated, ulama, you know, we should read his sawane, the life of Hazrat Madani, we should read it. Read the lives of Hazrat Tanvi, Hazrat Madani, Hazrat Saharanpuri, Tazkiratul Rashid, Tazkiratul Khalil. If you read the autobiographies of these people, they were ajeeb people. Allahu Akbar. An inquiry, Hazrat Shaykh stated, ulama kiram, I am annoyed with you people. Why don't you reprimand me when I say something? If Hazrat Shah Ismail Shaheed Sahib could reprimand Hazrat Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed. And who was Shah Ismail Shaheed? And who was Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed? I told you yesterday, Sayyid Ahmad. Who was Sayyid Ahmad to Shah Ismail Shaheed? His what? Remember I told you guys, what was he? His spear, his sheikh. Remember, Sheikh Abdul Hayy got bait to him. And then he told Shah Ismail Shaheed, yeah, this is the right person. And Shah Ismail Shaheed got bait to him too, to Sayyid Ahmad. So once Sayyid Ahmad Sheikh, when he told him to do Tasawwur Sheikh, and he said, I can't do that. That's something different. Shah Ismail Shaheed rahmatullahi alayhi could reprimand Hazrat Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed. Yani a murid could reprimand his Sheikh. Then why do you not reprimand me? I am relating my journey to Medina. Is this not a form of boasting? Yeah? Then he would say to Mufti Muhammad Hussain, Mufti ji, ye jaiz hai? Hazrat Sheikh, Mufti ji, ye jaiz hai? That's the way Hazrat Sheikh would speak. And then Mufti Sahib, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Hussain Sahib, you always ask Mufti Sahib. They would read Salatul Tarawih. My father-in-law would be the person giving the lukma. And only him had the permission. Nobody else. There would be thousands of huffaz and ulama, but nobody had the rights to give lukma. The person reading Tarawih, only my father-in-law had the rights to give lukma if he made a mistake. Right? So sometimes after Tarawih, and then Hazrat Sheikh would just put out his head and look at Mufti ji, and Mufti Muhammad Hussain, that's his first khalifa. He would say, Are Mufti ji, namaz hui ya nahi? And he would just say, Mufti Sahib, is namaz done or not? And Mufti Sahib said, yes, yes. If he said, no, repeat it. Jal, repeat it. Khalas. Halaki, that was his student and his murid, but he would never, Mufti Muhammad Hussain was the grand mufti of Deoban, and he would ask him any fatwa, any masla, khalas. Khalas. That's how much Hazrat had adab, and this is how he was. So he said that you ulamas are sitting here. So am I relating my journey to Medina? Is this not a form of boasting? Hazrat Maulana Mufti Mahmud Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah responded, it depends on the niyyah, intention. If the intention is to express the blessings of Allah, tahdith bin ni'mat, wa amma bi ni'mati rabbika fahaddith, then it is permissible. Understand? And Hazrat said it, وَإِنْ تَوَدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. This tahdith bin ni'mat. The meaning of Jamali Hasir. Sorry, Jamal-e-Hasir, the meaning of Jamal-e-Hasir. an exhausted camel. Hazrat Sheikh stated, on that journey, I noticed that the Bedouin continued feeling the testicles of the camel as it walked. I asked Jamal-e Hasir, this is a term used in hadith. I asked him the reason for this. He told me that the camel gets exhausted as it walks and then is not fit for anything. Thus, a chapter in Sunan Abu Dawud, volume 4, page 294, is entitled Chapter on the Method of Reinvigorating a Tired Camel. I saw a camel on the road, which was just standing idly. Upon inquiring, I learned that this camel is fatigued and it is in the final stages of a chronic fever and will die standing. I was told that the symptom of this becomes apparent on the testicles. The testicles swell. This is what the Bedouin was doing by continuously examining the camel's testicles. Understand? So see, all the time thinking of the hadith and the what they used to teach. Understand? The chapter of Abu Dawud Sharif. Hazrat Sheikh said, I understood from Hazrat Saharanpuri's salat. Hazrat Sheikh stated, during that journey, our Ramadan commenced on the ship. Thus, it was decided that Hazrat will recite half a para juz in Taravi, and I will recite three quarters. I also felt dizzy on the ship, and Hazrat was even dizzier than I was. We were there for about 7 to 8 days. I do not understand where Hazrat got the strength from to read the entire salat standing with great ease and concentration. After completing the salat, he found it very difficult to even sit. An incident in Hazrat Raipuri's Hajj of 1345 Hijri. Hazrat Sheikh stated, my Hazrat Aqdas Raipuri, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Raipuri, went on the Hajj journey in the year 1345 after Hijrah. During that time, I was in the sacred Hijaz with Hazrat Saharanpuri. Hazrat Aqdas Raipuri stated, I have not met you for the past 8 months now. I undertook this journey to meet with you. Understand? I undertook this Hajj journey to meet with you. That's how much shafqat and love he had for Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullahi. Hazrat Aqdas Raipuri stated, I have not met you for the past 8 months now. I undertook this journey to meet with you. Thus, on the 16th Dhul Qadha, 1345 after Hijrah, Hazrat Raipuri returned with me from Madinah Munawwara to Makkah Mu'azzama. During that journey too, Hazrat appointed me the Amir of the group, saying, Al-A'imma min al-Quraysh. Hazrat's attendants tied his saddle tightly in order to ease his journey. A wealthy man who was part of the group continued complaining that his saddle was not tied correctly. After continuous complaints from him, I issued an instruction as Amir that he should use Hazrat's saddle and Hazrat should use his saddle. Hazrat immediately dismounted from his saddle. Hazrat immediately dismounted from his saddle. However, this wealthy person refused to dismount. On this I said, then, in that case, Hazrat will walk. Hazrat accepted this instruction happily and started walking. This wealthy man apologized profusely and begged Hazrat to mount the camel. You understand the way Hazrat Sheikh used to do Islah? In front of his Sheikh. Understand? That Hazrat Sheikh had so much confidence on his murid. Understand? It said, Hazrat Saharanpuri, once there was a masla in Saharanpur, and Hazrat was in charge, Hazrat Saharanpuri was, of dispelling a student. So all the people had given Hazrat, all the big people had given the right that yes, Hazrat Sheikh, he said to Hazrat Sheikh, his murid, his student, what do you say? He said, Hazrat, my right, my opinion is no way you should expel him. But because all the other great ulamas and everybody else, they said yes, it should be done. So Hazrat did. It did. And after that, something very big happened. So Hazrat Saharanpuri said, looking at Hazrat Sheikh, that my Londa, my little ones here said from the beginning not to, but I did not listen to him. And now I listen to all of you and I accepted your opinion and look what has happened. So Hazrat Sheikh spoke out, Abi Hazrat, don't worry, inshallah your tawajjuh dua, everything will be extinguished. He said, just after that, everything, in a day or two, everything was extinguished and the whole mamla was again easy. Understand? He didn't say, yes, yes, my Hazrat, see, you should listen to my advice. But Hazrat, it was your tawajjuh and dua that Allah put this in me, and it was your tawajjuh and dua, inshallah, everything will be even alright. Understand? So this is how much confidence Hazrat Sheikh had with his own murid. Understand? So he was the Amir of the Jamaat. So now when this wealthy man is complaining that my saddle is not tied properly like the way Hazrat's saddle is tied properly, he said, okay, you take Hazrat's seat and Hazrat will take your seat. He said, no, I can't do that. Then, okay, Hazrat, you walk. And you take, Hazrat will walk. So Hazrat started walking. Hazrat listened to his, because when a person is Amir, you have to do itaat of him. An expression of displeasure at the material, that was just a way of doing islah, that person, he didn't, tawbah, what am I doing, you know. And an expression of displeasure at the material gifts, Hujjad present. Hazrat Shaykh stated, I do not like the material gifts like musallas, tasbihs, etc. the Hujjaj bring to me. These items are manufactured in the lands of the kuffar and remains closed in boxes and trunks. Often not even the air of Makkah strokes it. I always tell people who are departing for Hajj not to bring anything for me, and I add that, if you love me, then bring me a Hajj or a Umrah. Understand? My friends have on my behalf completed close to 100,000 Umrah and thousands of Hajj. My friends have on my behalf completed close to 100,000 Umrah and thousands of Hajj. In this Ramadan alone, I have been informed that 20 to 25 Umrah were performed on my behalf. The same applies to the sacrificial animals. Understand? Hazrat Shaykh, my father-in-law, and they still until today, they do a qurbani that Allah send the reward to our Shaykh. Understand? Rasulullah ﷺ done a qurbani on behalf of the ummah. So once in a lifetime, we should also do qurbani that, oh Allah, this animal that I am sacrificing, send the reward. Rasulullah ﷺ doesn't need our reward for Rasulullah ﷺ. So like this, Hazrat Shaykh, people used to inform him that we send you this present, that we've done a umrah with the intention that the reward goes to Hazrat Shaykh. This is called Isali Swab. Hazrat Shaykh has, you know, when Hazrat Maulana Harun Sahib passed away, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib's son, Maulana, and he was very grief. He passed away very young, Maulana Harun Sahib. He had very severe magic on him. Maulana Yusuf Sahib, Hazrat Ji, Maulana Yusuf Sahib's son, Maulana Ilyas Sahib's grandson, Hazrat Maulana Harun Sahib, when he passed away, Hazrat Sheikh was very grief. But everybody, he said, you don't need to come to visit me. If you want, do Isali Swab. Sit where you are, or wherever you are, and if you write to me that you've done one Quran Khatam for Maulana Harun, that's better for me than you come to visit me. If you come to visit me and Taziyat, it is sunnah, but the thing is that with taziyah, people just come. Nowadays, what people do when they go for taziyah, they just talk. Even they don't even read Quran. They don't even read one Yasin. Understand? But Hazrat Shaykh, pray. So even you can even pray for the living, and you can even pray for the dead. You can even send reward to the living. Understand? So Hazrat always used to want that. That when you go to Makkah, Medina, don't bring me materialistic gifts. But if you tell me that I've done a tawaf for you, yeah, tell me that I've done an umrah for you. Yeah, when I was there, I done one night, I done umrah for you. Then Hazrat Shaykh said, that makes me happy. Not bringing all these, you know, these materialistic things. My friends have now, on my behalf, the same applies to the sacrificial animals. Hazrat Shaykh stated, make dua for those who render favors on you and grant gifts to you. The hadith informs us that, say, Jazakallah khaira, may Allah reward you abundantly to those who render favors on you, who can reward like Allah. Understand? Man suni alayhi ma'ruf faqala li fa'ilihi jazakallahu khairan faqad ablagha fi thana. Man suni alayhi ma'ruf, whosoever a ma'ruf has been done to, any good that somebody does to anybody, and he has thanked him with how? Jazakumullahu khairan faqad ablagha fi thana. He has indeed reached the peaks in praising him. When a person is a muhsin of another person, he praises him. And if somebody has done favor on me, I talk good about him, I make dua for him and talk good about him. So the best way that you can ever talk good or say anything good is say Jazakumullah khairah. And one is, oh Allah, give the best reward on behalf of us to those who've done any favor upon us. Always make this dua. Oh Allah, any person who's done any good to me or has said any good thing or any favor, any ahsan, Allah, you give him or her the best on your behalf. Jazakumullah khairah. Allah could give the best. Because a person could never give the best. Who could only give the best? Allah could give the best. So Jazakumullah khairah. And also make dua for the one who does favors. So Hazrat said, the hadith informs us that, say Jazakumullah khairah, may Allah reward you abundantly to those who render favors on you. Who can reward like Allah? Consider this my final parting instruction and advice. Make dua for those who renders favors on you. Without actually pleading, we have become physically manifest. We have become physical manifestations of pleading. Hazrat Shaykh stated, I do not like anything else besides dates and zamzam. Whenever I go to the Holy Hijaz, I do not bring any clothing, etc. for my family. When I went with Maulana Yusuf Sahib, Hazrat Ji Maulana Yusuf Sahib, then his lectures in Masjid al-Nabi will last, his lectures will last up to 3 to 4 hours. I also sat in those lectures, not out of love and happiness, but with the intention to derive benefit. During that journey, the late Maulana Rahmatullahi made great progress and attained great heights.
While sitting there, he will gather the feathers of the doves of Masjid Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he brought those as gifts. While sitting there, he will gather the feathers of the doves of Masjid Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he brought those as gifts. Maulana Yusuf Sahib? Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib, he has a Sheikh's son-in-law, and he was in Nurain too. Understand? Yeah. Hazrat Sheikh's one daughter passed away, Zaki Apa, Rahmatullah Alayh. Hazrat, one passed away in Sajda. And one passed away when Maulana Yusuf Sahib was reading Yasin. And then he repeated, Salamun qawlam min Rabbir Rahim. And he said it three times. And on the third time, her ruh went. So after one daughter passed away of Hazrat Sheikh, Rahmatullah Alayh, Hazrat Sheikh gave his second daughter to Maulana Yusuf Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh. Right? So he was also Hazrat Sheikh's son-in-law, Hazrat Sheikh's cousin brother, and he also his brother-in-law. He was also Hazrat Sheikh's brother-in-law too, because he was also married to Maulana Yasab's daughter, Hazrat Sheikh. So he was Hazrat Sheikh's brother-in-law, he was Hazrat Sheikh's son-in-law. He was also Hazrat Sheikh's cousin brother, and he was also Hazrat Sheikh's student, Maulana Yusuf Sahib, Hazrat Maulana Yasab's son. So that was his practice. While sitting there, he will gather the feathers of the doves of Masjid al-Nabawi, and he brought those as gifts. Khalas. Understand? The doves, the pigeons and the doves of Medina Munawwara, they take these as gifts. In the journey after that, he brought stones from Hudaybiyah and Mount Uhud. There, pathar, sab ke liye pathar. Mount Uhud. This is about muhabbat, love. He told his companions to put these in their boxes. They were busy constructing a canal near Muawiyah Sharif. He brought some sand from there too. Muawiyah Sharif is where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's face is. Muawiyah. When you're facing the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So that time maybe they didn't have the golden gates. Allah Alam. So they were constructing a canal there. So the sand that was thing, he took sand from there too. As present. And I have, Alhamdulillah, I have some too. They were busy constructing a canal near Muawiyah Sharif. He brought some sand from there too. He sent a bag to Haji Yaqub Bombay. When he reached here, he distributed some to his friends too. And this is about love. Once, Sheikh Hussein Ahmad Madni and his brother Sheikh Sayyid Ahmad Madni, coming from Medina Munawwara, they went straight to their... No, Sheikh Hussein Ahmad Madni went straight to his Sheikh, Sheikh Rashid Ahmad Gongoi. So Sheikh straight away said, where is the earth of Medina? So he said, Baisak is coming and he's got the earth. He's brought the earth. So soon as his older brother Sayyid Ahmad Madni came, Hazrat Gongoi said, where is the earth of Medina? Give it to me. And he took it. And then he mixed it with the surma, the earth of Medina, and he used to use that for his eyes, the earth of Medina, as surma. Understand? This is muhabbat, love. Muhabbat in love. Now you guys are thinking, where is this from hadith? Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, my Shaykh narrates, once he was like this with his beard on the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So somebody nudged him, do you know what you're doing? He goes, exactly I know what I'm doing. Exactly I know what I'm doing. I'm in hosh. Alhamdulillah, I know what I'm doing. And he was over the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his beard. Understand? What do we know about love? A Bedouin woman came just at the grave, cry, and she expired, died at the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are people like that. Understand? So this is about muhabbat and love. Understand? They're not doing tawaf. They're not doing sajda. That's haram. Understand? That's haram. But if a person is in love of the dust of Medina, before people used to go to the Bagh of Salman Farsi, used to get, khaki shifa. But now everything, bidah. They close down everything. You can't get nothing. Nothing. Because in the name of bidah. But these akabir mashaykh, this is some connection. Understand? Allah puts ta'thir in the earth. And Rasulullah put the fingers into the earth of Medina and he said, this cure for our people. Bi'aldina. Understand? Medina, khaki shifa. They call it khaki Medina. Khaki Medina, khaki shifa. There's they usually mention it, the earth of Medina. Understand? So when we reach here, we have some of that earth, don't we? He was with me too, with my father-in-law. There's a person called Sayyid Sharfuddin from Sudan. He's from Ali Jafar. And he had a Quran too, 500 years old. Handwritten. He was a Sayyid from Sudan. A good father-in-law, my father-in-law's friend. We went to his house for Dawud's. Faraz was there too. And he had earth of Medina in a bottle. He gave that from the Rosa, near the Rosa of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam too. So he gave some to my father-in-law. Faraz had some too. I got some too. As the Sheikh stated, when Hazrat Aqdas He brought some sand from there too. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib bought sand and gave this hadiah too. He sent a bag to Haji Yaqub Bombay. When he reached here, he distributed some to his friends too. Hazrat Sheikh stated, when Hazrat Aqdas Raipuri first flew by plane from Karachi to Delhi, then on meeting me, he said, when I sat on a plane, my heart desired that you too shall travel once by plane. You will not accept going to Pakistan. That is why I thought that I shall travel with you to the Holy Hijaz. Thus, arrangements for the journey were made. However, due to the news of the outbreak of the cholera in India that year, other countries imposed strict quarantine laws. Therefore, all flights to the Hijaz were cancelled. Thus, I postponed the trip. However, Hazrat Aqdas went with his attendants. When Hazrat returned, he said, from the time I went till my return, I pondered what I shall bring for you that will make you happy. After pondering very deeply, I decided to tie the ihram from Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and make a niyyah to perform umrah for you. And I tied the ihram, donned the ihram, and made intention that this umrah is for Hazrat Shaykh Maulana Muhammad Zakariya. Hazrat Raipuri is giving this present to Hazrat Thing. I said, Hazrat, may 1,000 of umrah of mine be sacrificed for this. Thereafter, friends performed many hajj and umrah for me. Maulana Alimiyah's standard practice was, Maulana Alimiyah, when he says Alimiyah, he's talking about Sayyid Abu al-Hasan al-Nadwi. Maulana Alimiyah's standard practice was, as he himself writes, whenever I make tawaf, then I first complete a tawaf on your behalf. On behalf of Hazrat Shaykh, he used to first complete a tawaf. A person came here and told me that he completed 80 umrahs on my behalf. Mm-hmm. They themselves had so much amal and people would pray for them. And that's what they like. Not all this money and all this dunya stuff. A former India ambassador, Kidwai Sahib's letter. Kidwai Sahib's appointment was to terminate 4 months before the Hajj. He wrote to Hazrat to make dua. By the grace of Allah and the blessing of Hazrat's dua, he was granted an extension of a year on his contract. He wrote in his letter, it is my desire to stay here for one more year so that I am able to serve you during the Hajj. Hazrat Sheikh stated, in the year 1386 after Hijri, during my Hajj journey, my friend Sadi and others obtained permission for me to make tawaf at 4 o'clock in the morning by car. While I was in the mataf, people told me that that Kadwai Sahib also arrives every day here at this time. I did not meet him there. However, on my return, I received his letter in reply. I wrote, I remember your late night tawaf. We were deprived and nobody reminded. Our Hazrat Shaykh and they always had a Durood Sharif majlis. Somebody used to read the 40 Durood Sharifs. The 40 Durood Sharifs that our Hazrat Thanvi and Zadu Saeed had compiled all from Hadith. And then Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh in Fazali Durood Sharif, in the virtues of Durood Sharif, he also has them compiled. And then there's many separate ones, the Sufiq Basab in there. And my Shaykh, my Ustaz Hazrat Mawlana Islamic Sahib, he compiled another 60 from Hadith too. These 40 from Hadith and another 60. Salatu wassalam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So inshallah, before zikr, we'll have that and then we'll start our zikr. I'll read it and you just have to say Ameen. So everybody can face Qibla and we'll have the Durood Sharif, this 40, and then we'll have this. Our Hazrat Shaykh's majlis every day, they used to have 40. In my father-in-law's Darulum, every night, they have 40. You know, one person reads, everybody says Ameen, and after that they have Dua. Understand? So Durood Sharif. If we, especially on Thursday night and Friday night, inshallah, because if the salam goes from here to Rasulullah, if we read every day 300 times at least Durood Sharif, and then it goes to Rasulullah, that 300 times, say 25. And so it adds up to like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10,000. 10,000 salatu wassalam from Masjid Taqwa going to Rasulullah, the angel conveys. Rasulullah's special attention could come here to Masjid Taqwa to us. Understand? So it's very important that we read Salatu Wasalam on Rasulullah at least 100 times every day. Hazrat Gangohi used to say, every single day a person should at least read 300 times Salatu Wasalam on Rasulullah. How many times? Some Akabir Mashaikh used to read 25,000 times Salatu Wasalam. 25,000 times daily, every day. And on Fridays, you should read like, if you read every day 300 times, on Fridays at least 1,000 times, at least. This is a very minimum. The more you read, the better it is. So inshallah, we start zikr, but before zikr, we'll just do the durood sharif. Bismillah. Salamun ala ibadin ladheena astafa, salamun ala al-mursaleen.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وانزله المقعد المقرب عندك اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعه صل على سيدنا محمد وارض عني رضا لا تسقطه بعده ابدا اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على ابراهيم وعلى آل ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى آل ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم في العالمين انك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وازواجه وذريته كما صليت على ابراهيم وبارك على محمد وازواجه وذريته كما باركت على ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ازواجه وذريته كما صليت على ابراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى ازواجه وذريته كما باركت على ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد النبي وازواجه وازواجه امهات المؤمنين وذريته واهل بيته كما صليت على ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وترحم على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما ترحمت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد وعلى ال ابراهيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد محمد كما سلمت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى ال محمد وارحم محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم في العالمين انك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا ولو جزاء ولحقه أداء وأتي الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته واجزه عنا ما هو أهله واجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبينا القوم ورسولنا الأمة وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل بيتك كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على إبراهيم معه اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك علينا معهم الصلوات الله صلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما جعلت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصلى الله على النبي الأمي التحيات لله والصلاة الطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات الطيبات الصلاة لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات لله الطيبات الصلاة لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته سلام علينا وعلى عباد سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين اللهم اغفر لي واهدني اللهم اغفر لنا واهدنا التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله التحيات والصلوات لله الزاكيات لله السلام عليك السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله شهدت أن محمد رسول الله التحيات الطيبات والصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمد عبده ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله بسم الله والسلام على رسول الله شفينا وحبيبنا سيدنا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
No, 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 no. Inna Allah, Inna Allah, Inna Allah, Inna Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ Allah, 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 All صلى الله عليه وسلم على محمد رسول الله 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 صلى الله عليه وسلم على محمد رسول الله